This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide from the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh along with Trigvi Olson. We are live in Seattle, Washington. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Friday, December 13th, TGIF 2024. Good gosh, I'm also going back to 20 years. How I would like to go back 20 years in so very many ways. But no, we're happy to be here live on location in beautiful Seattle. Mr. Zommer is back at the world headquarters high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommer, what is it like back there in Madison today?
You know, it's quite a bit warmer than yesterday. It's actually 10 degrees here.
Really? 10 degrees?
Yeah, yesterday was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it got out to Seattle last night, and it was a great flight. Many thanks to the folks at Delta there. Got out here safe and sound, all the equipment. And let me tell you, I was parking this morning. We're here live on location at Buckley's on Queen Anne here in Seattle. And I just have my light Packard jacket on. It's a lovely day, a little bit of rain, but nothing's going to hurt anybody. So it's much warmer out here in Seattle right now, Mr. Summers, as it turns out.
Yeah, that's unsurprising.
Yes, we will check in with you just a little bit later. We appreciate you so very much for helping us get the show on the air. But as we said, we are live here at Buckley's Sports Pub on Queen Anne. It is a fantastic place. It is one of the official sports pubs here above the Green Bay Packers as we gear up to cover this great game coming up on Sunday Night Football. The pregame show kicks off on many stations of the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin at 5 p.m. with a pregame show and then kick off around, 7:15, 7:20, whenever they decide to kick things off here in Seattle on Sunday night. Of course, you can hear that if you are in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Racine in Kenosha on those Civic Media stations there. A quick reminder, we are not allowed to actually stream that on the Civic Media app because, you know, the NFL, they get a little antsy if we start doing that. So you have to be in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Racine in Kenosha. Coming up on the show today, a little bit later on in hour number two, we have our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who is going to be giving us the latest in hour two, right after head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Coach LaFleur, gets done, Matt LaFleur, off of his press conference. Mike will be in, tell us who is playing, who is not playing, and what to expect in that game. Also, Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up this hour. She's a great Packer fan. We know that about her. She's going to be joining us via phone as well. And hour number two, the Growing Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Yes, we have more great prizes for you. And today on it's Friday the 13th, but today could be your lucky day. Somebody in hour two is going to win a crisp $100 bill, but you have to text in to win. Download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. We'll tell you how to do it all in hour number two. And, of course, we have a what's worse. But right now, time to bring on my co-host as we travel around not just Wisconsin, but also across the country, now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, normally in the nation's capital, but joining us here live in Seattle, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, welcome to Seattle.
Thanks. We're going national now with our little tour. We just both happen to be out here. We're like, let's do it from Seattle.
Well, that's
it. It's raining in Seattle. Shocking, really.
But just drizzle. I say drizzle, right? It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
No, it's not
we
bad.
We had a yesterday. It was beautiful, though. We went up in your Space Needle. It was It was great.
Did you really?
We went down to the fish market.
Nice.
Had a nice lunch. It's Seattle's awesome.
It's good things to do.
Yeah.
Let's bring on right now our special guest and the person who really made sure that this all happened. We give her so many thanks, the general manager here at Buckley's on Queen Anne, Rachel Perry. Rachel, thank you so very much for being so spectacular to work with and allowing us to come into your fine establishment.
Of course. We're happy to have you guys.
Well, I met the owners today, Chris and Tim, as well. They've been still very gracious helping us because out here, it's only 10 after 10.
Yeah.
You guys don't open to the public until 11:30, but you said, no, come on in. And you've been so thankful, or we're thankful to you for allowing us to set up.
Yeah.
So tell us just a little bit about how long have you been at Buckley's, and tell us a little bit about your role here.
So I'm the GM currently. I started as a server here 10 years ago, moved my way up to bartending from there. And now they will never let me leave.
I've worked in the sports pub business, and if you get a good GM, right, they don't ever want you to leave.
No, I'm stuck here forever, which is great. It's a great place to work. We have a great time here. I love sports, so it's a good.
Are you a native of Seattle?
I am. Born and raised a little bit up north in Snohomish, but I've lived in Seattle proper the last 13 years since I turned about 20. So
very cool.
Yeah.
And so this is, and when Trigvy, you know, and by the way, I don't mean to be too impressive. Trigvy is a Green Bay Packer owner.
Yeah, that's true.
As are tens of thousands of other people in Wisconsin.
Hundreds, actually.
But
so are my kids.
Are they really? You bought them a little ownership as well.
Yeah.
So tell us.
Cool.
And so, like, when we were thinking about coming out, my godson works for the Puget Sound Naval Yard across the sound here, and Trigvy is such a cool dad. One of his goals with his kids is to take them to see a Packer game in all of the NFL stadiums eventually. So this was on their bucket list.
Which is cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the best part is they get to see every American city.
Yeah.
Like, that's the really cool part. Beyond the football.
And watch football.
Football is just an excuse to do it.
But when we were coming out here, we're like, well, we want to go to a Packer bar. So we went to greenbaypackers.com, and they listed you guys number one here at Buckley's on Queen Anne. What is that something that you ever worked with the Packers to get listed, or they found you?
So we've been a Packers bar for about 15 years. We weren't the original Packers bar in Seattle, but their location kind of fell short for them. So they found us, which is wonderful. And I think just because we have such great Packer fans, they put us in that position. It was never something that we were like, hey, you should promote us. But I think the Packer fans that have been coming here for so long just love it here. And they've done a really good job promoting us as a place that they love to come to. So it's been great. Yeah.
It has a great vibe to it. In fact, Trigvy, your girls mentioned this when you came in. You know, it feels very much like a neighborhood bar. Is that what Buckley's here in Queen Anne is?
Yeah, our slogan has always been where neighbors become friends. And that was like how this place started. It was actually never meant to be a sports bar.
Really?
Yeah, our owner's wife didn't want any TVs. So it started with one TV and then it has obviously grown since. We always make the joke when people come in and are like, well, I want to sit where I can see the game. And it's like, if you can find a place you can't, I'll buy your tab because it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, people watch on the stream right now on Facebook, on YouTube or X or Blue Sky. I mean, you can see there's great TVs all over. It's just a warm feeling. You know, lots of wood here for those who are.
Strikes me as like a British pub. Honestly,
a little bit.
When I walked in here, I thought this could be.
I get mistaken for an Irish pub all the time.
Yeah, it could be in the UK.
Yeah.
Really, more like a London pub. But
it's fun.
We walked by here, so we went to the Space Needle, which is, for those listening, is not far from here. And right next to that is the hockey stadium, Climate Pledge Arena, and we walked by that. And then you guys are close to all of that. It was interesting to me. I grew up playing hockey, so I'm kind of a hockey guy. It's interesting to me. Man, people are jacked up about having the Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
It's crazy because I don't really think about Seattle is a big hockey hub. There was a guy at Eau Claire, actually, when I was there, who was from Seattle area, and he had gone off and played up in British Columbia. But
we had the Metropolitans, but that was a long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
They gave us a Stanley Cup, but
all right. Yeah.
That's not bad. Not bad, right?
That would have been in about, original six, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, way back.
So tell us, because when I first came out here, when my godson moved out here, what is a kraken?
Well, a kraken is technically a mythical creature, a giant octopus squid thing.
Something
that basically gets summoned from the deep.
Oh.
And the best way I can make it relatable to something you've seen is in Pirates of the Caribbean, the big thing that comes up and swallows ships. That's a kraken.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we're a big
you're right.
Monster.
I mean, is it fair to say, Rachel, somebody who's a native Seattlean or around Seattle here, that the kraken is as big out here, the hockey and the NHL team as the Seahawks in some ways?
Yeah, I think Seattle just loves their sports in general, and we've gotten the short end of the stick on sports on occasion. So to bring hockey back, especially to a generation that has never experienced hockey before, I think was really cool to see, and hopefully we'll get basketball back soon. but yeah, the city definitely felt a little bit more revived, especially coming off of COVID and getting our hockey team. And it's the stadium's beautiful.
I was going to say, for people that have never been out here to Seattle, you have a sort of a sports district back home in Wisconsin. You might compare it to the Deer District in Milwaukee around the NBA Bucks team a little bit, or Titletown now around Green Bay. But what makes it unique here in Seattle, it's in a very industrial part, or at least originally industrial part of Seattle. There's been so much development, and it's not just the Seahawks Stadium. There are also other sports around that area as well.
Yeah, the Mariners Stadium, T-Mobile Park, is down there. They're right next door to each other. They actually thought about putting the hockey stadium down there too, and then
I think it's
decided
good that it's here.
Yeah,
and you know it's right around here, Todd. This is what we learned when you go do touristy things, which
Tell
is
me.
Part of the whole thing. Amazon is located just
really
right over there. Yeah, that's.
Should we order something?
Find a rock and throw it.
Yeah,
find an Amazon building.
You'll literally hit an Amazon building.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we came down here last night. I had a friend who was up from Portland who lived here for years, and she invited the girls and I out, and we went out in this district. Oh my God, is it happening?
Yeah.
We went to this awesome Thai place and it was jam packed. And she was saying that, it's all young people who work at Amazon. So, I mean, great for you guys too. We actually my girls pointed this out. We actually walked by your bar last night when we were on, and there was a huge amount of people pregame in here having dinner.
Yeah. Every pre and post, we get hit pretty hard.
So talk a little bit about, obviously you've been 10 years here and a lot of Packer fans through. There's been some games for the Packers that haven't really ended very well, probably right about the time you started, including one with an onside kick that we'd like to forget about in the NFC Championship. But how do the Seahawks see the rivalry with the Packers? Because I think Packer fans think Seahawks is a rival.
And we have 30 seconds. Yeah. Sorry.
Pressure. I feel it more from the Packer fans than from the Seahawks fans, especially being a Packers bar.
Yeah.
You feel the rivalry from them a lot,
right.
Or at least they're more vocal about it.
Rachel Perry, GM here at Buckley's on Queen Anne. You'll come back at hour 2. We'll talk more about this rivalry and about the Packers bar here. Thanks so much for your hospitality.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, stay tuned. Trivia, I will continue on here live at Buckley's on Queen Anne in beautiful downtown Seattle right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location from Buckley's on Queen Anne in downtown Seattle. We are here for the Packers versus the Seahawks game on the Civic Media Radio Network now, 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. A little bit earlier than that, Trigby, here in Seattle. The time difference is 2 hours, so it's still middle of the morning here.
I'm watching this knucklehead try and park his Cybertruck. He's parallel parking it. Oh my God.
I thought they were supposed to do it themselves.
Seriously.
We're literally
if they do, Elon Musk isn't going to be cutting the budget or getting us into space, because that thing is He's literally now got it in there as a T. Look at that.
I mean this guy, now he's giving up.
Now he is giving up, he's doing a Y turn.
We're watching a dude or someone.
Ugliest thing I've ever seen. Anyway,
a Tesla truck, it is not a pretty sight.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight.
Trigvi Olsen, formerly a Republican like myself, a Wisconsin boy like myself, and now the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
I'd rather have an F-150, Todd.
I'd rather have a Dodge Ram, but that's just me.
That's just you. I can't convince the wife, you know, living in the nation's capital. I can't convince the wife to get a pickup truck, but later on you're going to meet some people who are pretty special to me who are all in on me getting a pickup truck.
Fantastic. Yes. Ula and Kaya.
Yeah.
Trigvi's girls are here with him, and we're going to be talking to them a little bit later. This is L.A. Tom on the YouTube. Says, I used to live on Capitol Hill, and my place had a view of the Space Needle directly out my window. Well, we're not very far from that at all. We're maybe five blocks from the Needle. Like, literally, if we go.
Yeah, we were there yesterday. It's literally. You just walk right up there. You got to go up there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Tom also commented about Cybertrucks. Those are ugly tanks.
Yes. They're not a pretty vehicle.
They are ugly. Here's the thing about when you go up in that thing.
The Space Needle.
Yeah. So this is what I concluded. So if you go across the Soviet Union to all these places, they have these television towers in every one, and they all have a Space Needle in them. I think what happened is somebody showed up at the World's Fair in Seattle from the Soviet Union, and they decided to build them.
Really?
Yeah. The only thing I don't like is they have the rotating restaurant, and it kind of makes me ill.
Goes too
fast. And I don't like heights either. But
you probably shouldn't have gone up on the Space Needle.
No, probably not. Here's our big news.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was just going to say, so we're here at Buckley's on Queen Anne.
Yeah.
And it's a great pub, great beverages, great beer, whatever. But I came out. I'm here to see my my youngest godson, Jason, who works over there at Puget Sound, right across the Sound. Great naval people here. By the way, I should get this out. Here, I bought a new hat this week at the Veterans Museum on the Capitol Square in Madison, Trigvi. Here is my Navy hat. It's a big Navy-Army game this weekend.
Like it.
So I'm going to be hanging out with the Navy boys out here and cheering on the Navy guys. But here's the deal. Jason, I hope, is happy to see me. But here's the two things he really is interested in. One, I brought out some Hook's cheese from Mineral Point. Fantastic stuff. And B, when you go through the Madison Airport and you fly out of there, on the other side of the TSA line, they sell, New Glarus Spotted Cow beer. So this was my carry-on right here coming on the airplane. And this is what Jason is actually really excited to see.
You know, can't blame him.
Right? Because we know this is unique to Wisconsin, you can't buy this anyplace else. So, when you travel, there's no better carry-on luggage than a little bit of New Glarus Brewery Spotted Cow. And so this remote show is fueled by New Glarus Spotted Cow, wherever you want to get your beer. Remember, it's employee-owned. It's a great company there.
Spotted Cow, they should be sponsoring us.
Right? Right.
They really should.
Only in Wisconsin.
I'll tell you a Spotted Cow story. Yeah. Want to hear a Spotted Cow story?
I do want to hear a Spotted
Cow story. So we used to, when my parents were still alive, we used to road trip back from D.C.
Really?
And the girls would get, sort of like this trip. Like, I like my kids getting to see and understand how great America is.
It's fantastic.
Having lived abroad.
Yes.
So we would road trip back, and I would almost inevitably, so we'd drive back, I would almost inevitably fly my wife and kids back home, and I would load my car up with Spotted Cow and Katie Cheese. I bought a cooler, a special cooler that you could plug in.
The black market.
And I would drive it back. And at one point when my parents had moved, I ended up driving back with some of, my dad said I had to take like my shotgun and other stuff. I drove back and I'm driving through Chicago, and it dawned on me, if I get pulled over, I have a shotgun, some ammo, a bunch of gold, like coins from my dad's coin collection, because that all had to go. And 40 cases of Spotted Cow and cheese. I'm like, they're going to arrest me for sure.
It's like the Wisconsin version of Luigi Maggiore.
Yes, exactly. It was crazy. But yes, I would bring that Spotted Cow back. It was like a treasure.
Right?
I was like the guy who had Spotted Cow.
Yeah. So do yourself a favor, pick up some new Glarus Spotted Cow today.
I was not selling it because I don't want the ATF showing up.
No, we don't want that.
Spotted Cow.
Don't want that at all.
No.
A couple minutes here before the bottom of the hour, Dr. Lyerly is going to join us, Trigby, of course, a friend of this show.
Yep.
And she is a great Packer fan. I mean, she ran for office, did a great job. She's an OBGYN, but she's also a Packer fan, so she's going to give us some of her thoughts.
Well, she probably appreciates it, having gone to school there with those purple people,
yes.
Right? Like, she understands how good we have it. Right. I mean, when you have to live next to those purple people.
You grew up in River Falls. So
oh,
you saw them
God. Yeah. Yes, they used to throw. See, when I was a kid coming up, I don't know if we have any listeners who had this experience, but when I was a kid coming up, the Packers were terrible. It was the 70s.
Well, yeah.
Quinn Armstrong used to take all the Packer kids. He was a Viking fan. He'd take the Packer hats, all of us who'd wear Packer hats, and throw them up on top of the school. This probably says more about him. And there wasn't really bullying back in those days, but, you know, anyway. Right. But we eventually got the last laugh, right? Yeah,
yeah,
don't like those purple people.
I know you don't.
And then they play their dumb songs, and they honestly, there's a part
you know
of
what?
Me that thinks
you know
it,
what? Right
as
now
somebody of Norwegian heritage, I find it insulting that they do that whole skull thing.
You know what? They're ahead of us right now.
Maybe, but you know what?
You're talking smart.
No, they're really not.
They are in the Central.
Do you know that there are...
In the North, whatever you want to call
it. You know what the Mall of America and U.S. Bank Stadium have in common?
What?
They have the same number of Lombardi trophies.
Okay, fine. But this year, in 2020...
Yeah, until they win the Super Bowl. I'll tell you, they're just fans. As an NFL owner, the only thing we count is Super Bowls.
Oh, wow.
You're an NFL owner, unlike those mere fans... We only care about winning Super Bowls.
All right. We'll come back, talk a little bit about some of those Super Bowls, also get you ready for more of the game. Lots of history out here in Seattle, and not all good for Packer owners or Packer fans out here. There have been, and of course, there's a long relationship between Coach Holmgren, who left Green Bay and came out here and took the
John center. Schneider, GM.
Yes.
Wisconsin boy, Green Bay boy.
Really? All right.
Could probably lease the Jets just like our boy Gutekunst.
Come on back. More fun. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We are live at Buckley's on Queen Anne in downtown Seattle. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in downtown Seattle at Buckley's on Queen Anne, the official Packer bar here in Seattle.
You know what it smells like here in Seattle?
What does it smell like?
Teen Spirit.
Only because he's traveling with his teenage daughter. That's Trigby Olson here as my co-host here.
It's true.
There's
that
a lot
doesn't
of
even
spirit.
Qualify as a joke. No. That's bad.
So bad. So bad.
We are joined here on the show right now, Trigby and I, by our good friend and wonderful Wisconsinite back home doing. Here's how dedicated Dr. Kristen Lyerly is. In between patients, she says, I'll come on the show and talk Packers for a while. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, of course, a wonderful candidate for Congress back in the 8th Congressional District, and an OBGYN joins us literally between patients. Dr. Lyerly, thanks, and how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you? I'm jealous.
Well, I when we asked you to come on, I said, because, you know, you're such a Packer fan, I thought there might be a chance you might be coming out here to the game.
I wish. No, I'm stuck here working in 12-degree weather. I'm in northern Minnesota, and it is really freaking cold. And it's winter. Like, I'm looking at a giant pile of snow.
She's with the purple people.
she's with the purple people, yes.
Yeah, but look what I did. I forgot my Packer stuff, and I can't wear it up here, so I don't even bring it. But look what I did. Can you see what I'm wearing?
Oh, there you go. Stars.
I love it.
It's still green and gold.
It's nice.
It's the right colors.
Right.
It is the right colors.
It's green and gold. Nicely done. Let's talk just for a second, and we'll get into more of the fun stuff with the Packers in a minute. But I heard you on, was it on Pat Kreitlow's show or J. Matt Nairns this week, Dr. Lyerly, talking about the fact that you do travel as OBGYN in this place you're at in Minnesota. What, they had two OBGYNs, they've lost one now, and you're only one of two, and you're a traveling one. And this is a real crisis for people all across the country.
Oh, it's a huge crisis. And there aren't nearly enough OBGYN doctors. There aren't enough family medicine doctors. There aren't enough nurses. So what we're seeing is a lot of these rural hospitals are shutting down services. And typically one of the first services they shut down is labor and delivery. And we've seen that all over Wisconsin. Wisconsin's lost more than half of their labor and delivery units in the last 20 years. Medford closed down in October. Waupaca is planning to close theirs down in February. The community's in an uproar because, I mean, this is a growing, thriving community. You lose your labor and delivery service, you lose young people who put their kids in your schools and who invest and create small businesses. And then your town starts to lose vibrancy. And you also lose family medicine doctors. And those are the doctors who manage your diabetes and treat your heart failure and handle all of that other stuff. So as we continue to age and have more and more health problems, we then have to travel further to get the health care that we need. So this isn't just a problem that affects women and pregnant people. This affects giant communities from both in healthcare, from both a healthcare perspective and an economic perspective.
Yeah, I've said this very bluntly on this show, and I think everybody else has as well. I certainly stand against any and all sorts of violence, period. But mm-hmm. I just find it so intriguing and interesting that it took this murder of the CEO of United Health by allegedly this guy Luigi Mangione. And it took that sort of tragedy and the bizarreness around this whole thing to actually bring network news to other people to say, hey, let's actually have a big discussion about healthcare in the United States and in particular insurance. Do you have any thoughts on, again, not the salaciousness necessarily of the situation, but just that why does it take this sort of thing to have serious discussions like you just brought up, Dr. Lyerly?
It's interesting that you bring that up because between patients earlier this morning, my nurse came into my office and said, what do you think about this?
Right?
And, you know, we all acknowledge like this is a man with a family who is a human and violence is never the answer. But what we've seen from people in the wake of this is the masses are dissatisfied and they don't feel like they have a voice. And this is just some little way that people are able to kind of protest and say, wait a minute, it's not working for me either. And I can tell you as a doctor, it's not working for most people, whether it's a service that you can't get because your insurance company won't provide it, or you can't afford it because you have a high deductible plan and you just don't have the money, or if it's a medication that your insurance company just isn't going to cover, but you need it in order to live a healthy life. So insurance, healthcare is not working for us in this country. It needs a major, major overhaul. And frankly, we don't have the political courage right now to make that happen.
Trivi, I know you've done a lot of research, not just polling, but deep dive focus groups at Lincoln Institute for Democracy, an offshoot of the Lincoln Project. Is this something that you're, this issue of healthcare and just overall health in general, I mean, is that something that moves needles politically anymore? Or is it so difficult for people to understand it kind of whitewashes out on both sides and people just like, I don't know what to think anymore?
Well, I mean, healthcare and access to healthcare comes up. But like so many other things, it gets washed away in sort of cultural sound bites in and around small pieces of it and doesn't really get in or around the economics of it without actually getting into sort of what Kristen's talking about right now, which is so important, right? Like if you're from rural communities, but what it basically does is it guts rural communities in places like Wisconsin. So if you're in a suburb and you have access to Minneapolis, like where I grew up in River Falls, right, you're going to have access to pretty good healthcare. But if you're in more rural areas, you're going to have to drive 2 hours to give birth. That's going to go over well. Like,
right.
not.
So I want to ask each of you, then we'll actually talk about the Packers, but I want to ask each of you, Trivia, let's start with you and your research, things that you've seen, and then Dr. Lyerly, practically in what you've seen as an OBGYN, but also in being a candidate for Congress, what is it going to take politically? And I'm not even necessarily talking partisan right now, but what kind of a candidate, what sort of a party, what sort of real tangible, how do they package this in the narrative that you talk about so often, Trigvi, to cut through, to make this personal so that people will vote for these types of things to get real action?
So, you know, Todd, I've kind of been, since the election, thinking an awful lot about what we face as a country. And I actually think it's deeper than our politics and what kind of candidate. Like, we need to start figuring out how to empower people to have serious conversations about serious issues. Healthcare is a serious issue, and it's access to it. And aging parents, like, politicians don't spend a lot of time talking about aging parents. Having gone through having had two parents with Alzheimer's, if my sister didn't have a master's degree in geriatric social work and knew how to navigate it, I don't know how we'd have gotten through it. And everybody my age is going through that, which is basically a healthcare issue. Like, we have to start empowering people to be able to have serious conversations amongst themselves that get out of the toxicity of sound bites and sort of podcasts and you know, cable news.
Dr. Lyerly, you've seen this from both sides in terms of being a longtime practicing OBGYN across not just Wisconsin, but in other states like you're in Minnesota right now, but you've also had the opportunity to be a candidate for Congress. To that same point that I asked Trigvi, what is it going to take to get people to really focus on this as voters? And again, I'm not even talking partisan, but just in general, so that people vote not against their own interests in healthcare, but for them.
I honestly don't know.
That's a very honest answer. I love it. I love it.
Well, it's true, because I think what politicians do is they get us so sucked into trans people competing in sports and all of these spicy issues that don't affect us every day. And it distracts us from the things that are actually tearing our lives apart. I have honestly not met a person in the place where I'm working right now, which is pretty isolated, who says, yep, my health insurance is awesome. I'm sure I'm going to get the coverage I need. Every single patient I take care of, it's like there's a waiting list. I don't think I can find a therapist. I can't get there. It's barrier after barrier after barrier, and it's not working. And it's keeping us suppressed, and it's keeping us uninformed from engaging on a level where we can actually make a difference. So how do we help people make that leap from the way that they are suffering to the solutions that can actually fix their problems? That's the magic. Where is that special sauce? Trigvi, help.
You know, I mean, and here's the other piece of it, right? So I have a buddy, a high school buddy, and he's done really well, and they're literally made a decision, he and his wife, to you know, help cover the cost of it. But they have two kids who have gone to medical school down in Iowa in state, and those kids will still, even with them being able to help financially, are going to walk out with almost $250,000 in debt just for medical school, not even their specialties. $500,000 between the two of them. And why would most people want to take that on, right? So not only, you know, you got to the heart of this, not only do we have a problem with the insurance industry, but then we have access problem because we're not putting enough people through medical school and people, you know.
Well, I mean, let's find a little glimmer of hope here, guys. I mean, there is a program, I'm sure Dr. Lyerly, you're aware of it, at UW-Madison Med School, where if you, I'm not sure what the agreement is, 3 or 5 years, if you say after you got out of med school and practice in a rural community, then a large portion of that gets paid for by these scholarships. It would seem to me if the legislature would put more money into programs like that, that's at least one first step.
There are lots of little Band-Aid programs like that. Actually, the University of Wisconsin, the school, or the OBGYN residency program started the first OBGYN rural residency program where they specifically train an OBGYN doctor to go to a rural community. And that was so innovative and beautiful. And we're starting to see that pop up all over the country. But that's one doctor a year in one state. The Balanced Budget Act capped how many residents we could train because Medicare pays for residency training. So the Balanced Budget Act means that we can only train so many residents in the different specialties every year. So we can increase the number of medical students as much as we want to. And we've done that in Wisconsin. But there are only so many residency programs, and you have to get through a residency program in order to practice. So there's a bottleneck there that Congress has not had the courage to solve. And it's financial. They'd have to spend more money in order to be able to take care of more people. And in order to do that, that means that CEOs make less money. And that's the problem.
Yeah. All right. We're not going to solve it all today, but great discussion. I appreciate it. A couple of minutes left here. Dr. Lyerly, I know you're also a huge Packer fan. Growing up in Kakana, the Ghosts, right? The Ghosts down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, baby. The Galloping Ghosts.
The Galloping Ghosts. A great mascot, by the way. You know the Packers very, very well. Have you ever been out here to Seattle? Or I guess, have you ever been to what's your favorite road game you've ever been to watching the Packers over the years?
Oh my gosh, my least favorite road game would be the Washington football team, which is a terrible stadium, and they ran out of cheese. Did they not know we were coming? No, it was before they sold the team, so hopefully things are getting better.
Yeah, their fans are not nice either.
No, they were shouting, sell the team. Yes. I mean, yeah. it was bad. But, you know, I'll be honest. I have a lot of love in my heart for Minnesota. I'm a Packer fan, and I am a Badger, but I'm also a Gopher. If you've never been to a Vikings game at US Bank Stadium, and I do not like the Vikings, but that is quite an experience.
I've heard it's a great stadium. I've heard really. I flew over because my connecting flight was in the Twin Cities. And
better in the dome.
Flew over it, right?
I lived in that dome. I lived in that dome, and I loved it.
I'm actually a Twins fan. Some of my favorite moments of baseball are in the Metrodome.
Really?
But Kirby, I don't like the purple. I don't like those purple people at all. And honestly, it's an insult to my heritage that skull.
Right. any feelings? I mean, this is going to be a big game, Dr. Lyerly, for the Packers out here. A road game. I think it's an important one for the Packers to set the tone. Do you have any feelings about the game coming up on Sunday, which can be heard starting at 5 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network?
Seattle is a tough place to play. The fans in Seattle are incredible. Yeah. But the Packers have something really special going on this year, and I've got this great gut feeling. I think they're going to walk away with it. I think they're going to have a great ending to their season. I'm really, really looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Well, I am too. A quick thought, Trevi?
Yeah, since she's in Minnesota, I got a joke you can use with your patients. What do the Mall of America and US Bank Stadium have in common?
I don't
Same
know,
Same number
Trevi.
Of Super Bowl trophies.
There you go.
There's no end to those jokes.
Dr. Lyerly, you are fantastic. We love you so much. Thanks for all you're doing for women's health, for healthcare in general. And something tells me we have not seen the last of you on a ballot in Wisconsin, and I cannot wait.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great time. I'm going to be living vicariously through you all weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Dr. Lyerly. We appreciate it.
Right.
Go Pack Go, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go!
All right. Thanks, Dr. Lyerly, live from Minnesota.
Bye.
Come on back. We're here at Buckley's on Queen Anne live in downtown Seattle. But the show rolls on. Trigvi Olsen, Todd Alball, and Zomer's back in Madison on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back to the Todd Alball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are downtown Seattle here at Buckley's on Queen Anne. Great sports pub. We're the official Packer pub bar here
operated
when you're in Seattle.
Top rated in Seattle.
It is a great spot. We appreciate Chris and Tim, the owners here, for letting us crash, and also Rachel Perry, the great general manager here. She's going to be back in hour number two and talk a little bit more. How do we rate? Speaking of your hating on the purple people, when they come out here, I mean, what I'm interested in knowing from Rachel is, you know, who's kind of the best fan base to travel? What are people like when they're here? You know, that sort of thing.
You know, we can talk about this when Ula and Kaya come on. But one of the things that we have discovered is when you go to all these stadiums, around the country. People genuinely like Packer fans, in part because so many fans of other teams have been to Lambeau Field and were nice.
Yeah.
Teams that are not very well liked, like Viking fans are not. And I don't just say that because I don't like the purple people.
We'll find out more.
Other ones that are not liked, Buffalo Bills fans, Philly fans.
All right, very good. We'll find that out a little bit later. Trey Olson, my co-host for the day here, of course, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, talking about kind of mixing in some seriousness with some fun here on this show, talking to Dr. Lyerly. And again, thank you. How great is Dr. Lyerly? I mean, fantastic. I appreciate her perspective on healthcare. A couple of people on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac, talking about his insurance. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, I can't complain at all about GHC that I have. That's in my travails over the past 5 years. You know, that getting a cancer diagnosis in 19 and saying, "Well, you got 6 months," and now I'm, clear of cancer. You know, that I'm going to the 6 month protocol, and that I haven't seen much in the way of. You know, I've seen some co-pays, but I mean that they've taken good care of me and as well as my oncology team at UW Hospital and the radiology team at GHC Fish Hatchery Hill there that and do my scans, that I can't complain, but I can see where other people, they've provided me with good care, but I mean, I can see where other people have not gotten the care like I have received, and and it's interesting that, that all these Republicans now are admiring Viktor Orban's Hungary. Well, in Viktor Orban's Hungary, there's national health care. I mean, provided through their taxes, and it just is strange. I imagine they're not going to emulate that when they move toward a more authoritarian form of government.
We're happy that you're on the road apparently to recovery here, and best of luck and prayers as you continue on in that. But
yeah, which,
certainly thankful
by the way,
that
just to clarify, since he didn't say it outright. That he said that was in 2019. So it's 5 years later when they told him he had 6 months.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, really appreciate that, Mark, that you've gotten through that and either beaten it or in remission, certainly important. But, yeah, healthcare is an important topic to us all. Let's go before we run out of time here this hour. Matt listening on WMDX out of Madison. Matt in Middleton, also on healthcare. Matt, thanks for tuning in. What say you?
Hey, guys, thanks for what you do again. Having family that suffered with real illness, almost lost my brother and my mother, Bernie Sanders was a real torch for me. He's the one that woke me up to our awful system, and I did some learning about other countries and realizing how behind we are in that category, and I personally felt that there was something sick about America to allow our fellow Americans to die just because of a bill. But the lack of imagination in this country is astounding. I can think just on average day, multiple ways to make healthcare better and not just simply do universal. But economists have been warning for years that this is why we're in debt all the time. And it's never covered as the financial problem that it is. It's always covered as, not enough doctors or too expensive or whatever these reasons. But Democrats need to point it out that it's a financial problem first. It will never have financial order here if we keep paying so much for awful care. And the other thing is it hurts society because people are paying all these taxes and we're angry because we're paying up to 40% of our income for these insurances, for car, this and that, for health. And we are not getting very good service at all for it. And I see it in everyone I talk to. Everyone I know is pissed about it.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you so very much, Matt and Milton. Trigvi, I think Matt brings up a great point. You talk about this so often on the political side about narratives and about perception. And I think Matt brings up this really good point of how we talk about, we talked about with Dr. Lyerly, it's how we talk about this, right? Making things personal, isn't that always a more effective message when you can bring it right back to the voter, the listener, to say, how does this affect you?
Well, I think, yes, that is 100% true. I think the other thing is, experience is the great teacher for people. Mm-hmm. And I think, but I also think it needs to be put into a context of choices, right? Like, we're making choices to have that situation in the country. And I think the other piece of this, and it's really going to be something during the Trump era, we'll see about, you know, how the Democrats play this. But for me personally, as somebody who's conservative, I would say that this one of the solutions is to let the states try and have a lot of liberty to try and address it. And the places where it's working and people are getting better care at lower prices should be, you know, becoming models, sort of like it was with reform. But
all right, we shall see. We're going to turn the page here in hour number two. Stay tuned. Not going to want to miss it. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, will be fresh out of a press conference with Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He will let us know who's in, who's out. Mike Clemens up next. Also, our Growing Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Somebody's going to win $100 next hour. It could be you. Stay with us. Hour two from Seattle and Buckley's is straight ahead.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.